Okay, Rabotse. It's good to see everyone back. Okay, today we're continuing in the Inyanim of Yomin Shehu Smol. So, we mentioned that there seems to be a question whether the concept that you follow the Sanhedrin, even if you think they're wrong, we saw... Does that mean that you're not sure if they're right? So therefore, you should give them the benefit of the doubt. But if you're sure they're wrong, then you don't follow them. You don't follow them. So we saw that the Be'er Sheva said that the distinction between the Sifrei and the Yerushalmi. That the Sifrei that says you have to follow them, that's when you think you're right. If you think you're not positive, you think you're right, but they say differently, so give them the benefit of the doubt. But if you know they're wrong, you know it's based on a mistake, then you don't follow them. And that's how the Be'er Sheva explained, that the Yerushalmi that says you only follow them if they're telling you the right thing, that's if you know for sure that they're making a mistake, so then you don't listen to them. And the Sifrei that says that you listen to them is when you're not sure. So this discussion is also brought down. Sefer Avnei Gozis points out other achronim that seem to discuss this as well. If you look in the Maral on page 2, the Maral wrote a sefer called Gur Aryeh. Gur Aryeh is the parish that the Maral wrote on Rashi Al HaTorah. And so he writes like this on page 2. Afil Omer L'chal Yomin Dimokein Yomin Usmol Amali. In other words, Maral is explaining why did Chazal say this drasha? Because the Torah could have said Lo Sosu Min Adover Yashagidu Lucha. Period. Why did I have to add in the Yomin Usmol? Just say Lo Sosu Min Adover. Listen to what they say. Period. Or what is this idea that don't veer from what they say, left or right? Why do you have to throw in the left and right thing? You know, it makes it more poetic or whatever, but why do you have to throw it in, the left and the right?
It's a nice visualization.
What?
It's a nice
visualization. Yeah, maybe, but... Right, but Chazal... But, so the Maral said that's what got Chazal to think. What's this Lashon Yomin Usmol? So he says that the idea is that I feel our Yomin Shu Usmol of our Smol Shu Yomin. In other words, even if they're telling you right and it's really left to right, you should listen. Perish. Top line there on the left side. Al Dovish Uruta Vikosha Lassos Amru Shalos. In other words, they use it, it's something that you think is mutter, they say it's awesome. Al Dovish small. In other words, Yomin means it's mutter, small means it's awesome. So something that you thought is mutter. Something that is mutter, they say it's aser. Or something that's small is aser, they say it's mutter. Afilu hachi tishmol hem. V'nirash afilu im omru mamash al yomin shu small al somun shu yomin. Afilu mayadim mekubal enov mipi bezna hagolu mishulayim shu yulfneim shu amru lochach adin achshu bezna acher. So that's what he says. Even if they made a mistake, look at the footnote here, Rav Harper, page 57, hey, Tov B'Din. So the question is, does he really mean that they Tov B'Din, or that you think they were Tov B'Din? In other words, the Malbim, right, Because it's on page 5 in the bottom. Yeah. Lo sasser, lo sasser, mashkosu, yonis, mo hainu, lefi dimyoncha. Lefi dimyoncha means according to what the way you perceive things. Shet, dame, sham, haptim, smol, yamin, holze, lo sasser.
Well, page 6. 5 or 6.
Lefi dimyoncha means according to your perception. I mean, it doesn't mean that they're for sure wrong. This is the way you thought the halacha was. But so then you should. So that's similar to what we saw in the Be'er Sheva, that it's only if it's lefi dimyoncha, it's according to your perception, you think they're wrong, then you have to listen. But if you know for sure they're wrong, then you don't listen. You don't listen. Now, there's a separate halacha we saw in the Taz and the Shlomo Kluger, that even though you know for sure they're wrong, still you can't ask in or you can't do something publicly against it. Because you still have to give respect, even if they're wrong. So you shouldn't follow that. You don't follow things that are wrong, but you shouldn't give a public psak, or give a psak, or even a private psak. This is like Rabbi Metzer, that's like public, but or do something against it. But if they, in other words, they say this is mutter to eat, and you know for sure that it was a mistake. You know it was this food is treif, and they're telling you it's mutter, but you know it's treif. How do you know it's treif? You were there when the guy shechted it, and they got the wrong information that a Jew really shechted it. But you were there. So the Sanhedrin says it's kosher, but you know it's treif. So then you can't. So you shouldn't listen to them. Because you know for sure. The concept of listening is lefi dimyoncha. It's something that is according to your perception. So that's what we saw with Rabbi Elchanan. That if there's an obvious fact of error, then that's not a psak. That's a mistake. And you don't listen to mistakes. Now, that's only if you know for sure that they made a mistake. Which sometimes people do make mistakes. See, there's this notion that people have in the world that we should cover up everything. That somebody made a mistake and they has said an erroneous thing, but we just have to cover it up. No, you don't have to cover it up. You don't follow. In other words, this idea that the person, you know, makes it, but people can make mistakes. And the key thing is that they should admit they made a mistake and move on. That's the most healthy way. Instead of trying to say, no, it wasn't a mistake. And we, you know, and that just exacerbates the problem. It doesn't solve the problem. If somebody makes a mistake and, you know, I make mistakes. We all make mistakes. Make a mistake. You give a wrong, you know. Whatever. Make a mistake. You say we made a mistake and move on.
Why can't you argue that to be more often, like in the case where the Sanhedrin is, but the Sanhedrin to say that this is kosher, you say that it's trade, right? That you're being more mocker, so you have more leeway to be on a personal note to say that, you know, I think society decided the grand destiny decided that this is kosher. I really think I want to be machmir because X, Y, and Z. I have additional information, or I hope I perceive it differently than them.
Right.
So you have more leeway, but to be more lenient, shouldn't that be a little more restrictive?
Right. That's what the Taz says. That you should always be more machmir, because if you're not going to eat something, then no one's going to say that you're arguing with the Sanhedrin. They just say that you don't like this piece of meat. Doesn't show that you're, but if you go and paskin, the Sanhedrin says one thing, and you go and paskin against the Sanhedrin, so that you're not allowed to do. Even if you think they're wrong, you can't paskin against them.
Right.
Because.
I mean, you're not paskin against them regardless, but the question is, could you, on a personal note, keep that meeting and go, you know, this is a trick?
So, those, right. So you think it's kosher, and they say it's right, and you think they made a mistake.
So could you privately eat that meat because you think?
Right. So that's what we saw in the Taz and the Shlomo Kluge that you can't.
The meat will disappear, they'll see that there's no more meat. I'm saying
it's you can't eat the meat. If you think the meat is kosher,
no.
And they say it's treif, so you can't eat it. They're wrong, but but you can't do something against them. You don't have to follow them to eat something that you feel. No, because it's not, well, the Taz's idea is, whenever you're more machmir, it's not noticeable. Well, just because you don't eat something doesn't mean that you're showing somebody that it's treif. You don't eat it because you might not like it. You might be on a diet. You might be on 100 reasons. So it's not.
So but the issue is the social issue. Well,
right. That's what that's what we saw in the Taz.
Right.
So but you can't.
There's no way of anyone knowing. So according to
let's see, what's the Lashon HaTaz? What's the Lashon HaTaz? There's a pattern of Chavez.
If this meat was brought to base, then the likelihood is that they know that you want it to eat.
One second. Where's the Taz? The Taz is on here. He says, you have to be v'shev al tasa. It could be even in a private room with Yashmi. Let's take a look now. I want to do this gemara with you now. Let's take a look at something very interesting. Let's look on page 20. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah. Here's what that's what the Ran is going to call, and tomorrow we'll speak about this more also. Look at fascinating Gemara Rosh Hashanah. When the Gemara Rosh Hashanah Pahevah, let's take it. Vogo Shnayim Omer Renu Bismano. Which two people said we saw the moon on the 30th day. Rabbi Met pointed out that the Beit Hananel says it could be the night of the 30th day. Whereas, right, in other words, you know that sometimes a month is Bali, sometimes it's Chasa.
30 Mullah.
In other words, no, if you see the moon on the day 30, so that means that that's going to be your coach. That means the previous month will only be 29. Uh-huh. And day 30 will now turn into day 1. Because you saw the moon on day 30, I mean the potential day 30. But it's going to be day 1.
When does day 30 become day 30?
Yeah. So two Aiden came, 1 second. And they say, we saw the moon on day 30, or like we met the night of going into day 30. So it's a Chodesh Chasek. And therefore, the month of Tishrei is going to start on day 30, is going to be Aleph. But the next night, Motzai 30, the moon was not seen. So they claim they saw the moon on Monday night, but on Tuesday night they didn't see it. Let's assume that it was both clear days. It wasn't the one was cloudy. The Kibum Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Gamaliel. Rabbi Gamaliel said, it's good witnesses. And therefore, Rosh Hashanah is going to be on the first day, on Monday. Amar Reb Dosa ben Hurkanus. Ey de sheker hey. He says, what are you talking about? That's a lie. Hey me idim al isha sheyoda l'macha kresa ben sheyneha. It's like, he gives a mushel. He's saying a woman is pregnant. A woman gave birth. And then the next day, you say, you can still see that she's carrying. Obviously, she didn't give birth. Even though it takes maybe a little time, but in other words, you're saying that she gave birth, and then the next day you see her, and she still looks like she's carrying. So, the same thing. You said you saw the moon, and then the next day you don't see the moon. So obviously, you probably didn't see the moon the first day. Probably was a fabrication. Or a mistake. Think of me even that Isha Shigalda Lubach Kresa Meshidev. Amra lo Rabbi Yeshua Roa Ani Esdvarecha. So Rabbi Yeshua says, I think you're right. I think the Edim are not good. Because if you saw the moon on Monday night, then you should certainly see it on Tuesday night. Sholach lo Rabbi Gamliel. So Rabbi Gamliel was what? He was the head of the Sanhedrin, right? So he says, Gozrani Alecha. He said to Rabbi Yeshua, I am decreeing upon you, Shetavo Esther, I want you to come to me in Malkelcha with your stick, with your wallet, with your kippur shechal yosvich. Because according to me, Yom Kippur is going to be a day early. According to, because I hold the Edom were good. And according to you, the Edom is not good. The Edom are not good. So you only hold, that means that Rosh Chodesh is only a day later. That means Yom Kippur is going to be a day later. So I kept Yom Kippur a day early. But I want you to, you should follow me. Because I'm the head of the Sanhedrin. So therefore, you want to say no? I'm going to make you come to me carrying all your weekday paraphernalia, your wallet and your stick and everything on Yom Kippur, that what you hold as Yom Kippur, to show you that you're wrong.
I'm not with the Taz, though. I'm saying the Taz is the idea that Rudosa should have been able to keep Yom Kippur privately.
He was possibly.
Yeah. He was telling him that he wants him to. You mean he's saying that.
No, stay in his own house and do whatever.
But so Yeshua.
So Yeshua.
Yeah. Saying is that he doesn't have a right. But the other halacha is whether something's kosher or not. Okay. In other words, but Rosh Chodesh is totally what Bez Din made. So Bez Din made it.
But
we don't know that yet.
It's not such a question of halacha. It was those who told him Yeshua to do it, it's a machlokas on the Sfar.
Yeah. Yeah, so Shalach Lom Gamliel goes, Rani Alecha Shatova Etzli B'Makelcho B'Masecha B'Yom Kippur Shachal Yos B'Cheshboncho. I want you to come to me on the day that you say is Yom Kippur. So Halach U'Mutso Rabbi Akiva Meitze. So Rabbi Akiva saw Rabbi Yeshua. When he was told that, he was very upset, Rabbi Yeshua. It was on the day that I hold his Yom Kippur, he's forcing me to to go?
What would be the penalty if you were implicit?
What would be the penalty? Well, he's going against the...
No, not to violate
a kibbutz,
but not to
violate a kibbutz. Is that
Los Osser? Does this best happen?
What?
I think he means just not to go with the wall and the stick. But that's what
he, right, this so that would be a violation of Los Osser.
But, I mean, if you...
But he
just means the mundane act of traveling to go meet Rabbi Gamliel.
Right.
I mean, would Chacham command you to, you know, understand, come and meet me, and you have to listen to him?
Yeah. But he's representing the Sanhedrin.
Okay.
There is.
Well, he can't be.
Yeah, he's like this, yeah.
Does this have a real spin, Sanhedrin, but it's only part of it? It was not, but when you have to do the Tisha Kodesh, it's only 2 people.
Yeah, we'll see, 1 second. So, Rabbi Shu was commanded to come. So, 1 second. Halacha Matzor, Rabbi Kiva. So Rabbi Kiva saw, when Yeshua got that message that he should come, he was very distraught. So he said back to him, that... So Rabbi Kiva said to Rabbi Shua to calm him down, that anything Rabbi Gamliel said, that's it. Why? Shenemar Eila Moadei Hashem Mikrei Kodesh Asher Tugrosam Beimizmanim Beimshalomizmanim. Thirds, because Kiddush HaChodesh is Tolei in Bezdin. So whatever Bezdin decided, even if it was based on fictitious information, it's a special din by Bezdin, by Kiddush HaChodesh. The Kiddush HaChodesh is totally when Bezdin proclaims Rosh Chodesh, so it doesn't matter. Yeah. So now let's see the Ran. What I want you tomorrow to look at the Chidah on page 21, we're not going to get to that today, and see how he... But today we're going to see the Ran, now in the Drushos HaRan. On page 7. So the Ran says, look what the Ran says on page 7. These are the drushes of Ran. He says, you have to listen to the Sanhedrin, and the Ran is mashma, that even if you know it's not true, and you know what he brings the raya? He can't see what Hashem spoke, shatino b'nina torben tzvazek v'ima shechriu heim. Skimu la'emes olo yaskimu. In other words, we need one central... The point is, like the Chinuch says, we don't want Yiddishkeit to be just a hefker. So we need one central authority to be in charge. And everyone should listen to that one central authority. And he says that that's why Rabbi Gamliel had the right to tell Yeshua, I'm the head of the Sanhedrin, so I represent that singular authority, and therefore you have to listen to me. You think I was wrong, that because the moon was visible the first night, it wasn't visible the second night, so obviously there must be something funny with the whole thing, and maybe, but this is the way we pass it. And therefore it's binding. So you have no right to say, I'm keeping my Yom Kippur on the, you know, the day later. So he says, And that's what he did. You know, in the end of the day, Rabbi Yeshua did it. He came with his money purse on the day that he really thought was Yom Kippur, because he listened to Rabbi Gamliel in the end. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm giving you the Torah, but every generation is going to have its issues, so we need a central authority to deal with that. So that's what the Sanhedrin is. So this is it. So it's mashma. It's mashma. One second. It's mashma that you got to listen to the Sanhedrin. One second. Says, and that's pshat in that Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. Whereas the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, even though we're going to see, I want you to look tomorrow that the Chidah is going to say differently. But the Rad is learning that the pshat in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah is based on Al Yomim Tzu Shmol Lo Smotzo Yomim. And that's where Rabbi Gamliel had the right to say, you're not allowed to, you're not allowed to do it. Now, his child of course is against the Paris because he could have been just been doing it at home alone. So you see that the Ran didn't learn like that.
I was just saying it was a great public figure.
I was going to say, the stature might have been too big. Like
okay, that's what he just said. Unless Rabbi Yeshua, anything Rabbi Yeshua did was considered public.
Well, the question could have been to not be incorporated. He was led by Sophia.
So that's a question with a, you know, I told you with a Chazanish, did the Chazanish have the same right than like Rebbe Gamliel? Chazanish told the Mir Yeshiva, the whole world is keeping Yom Kippur in Japan. I mean, the whole world is keeping Yom Kippur that year on Wednesday, and the Chazanish told the Mir Yeshiva that everyone should eat on Wednesday and keep Yom Kippur on Thursday.
There's no
Sanhedrin.
There's no Sanhedrin other way either. No one
made any psak on this. And the Sefer Ikrim on page 9 he says the Kavanasim, he quotes the same thing. Well, Sosim and Adonai Shirin for Yomim Tzvo we were saying that in the middle of the page where the arrow is a couple of lines down. First one line is Sifri Sham with parentheses. I feel Yomro Hals, Yiminshu, small Shal, Yiminshu, my lab. And also, Mishal, about Kivisha, call other Bidark, Lachsha, Bachshavas. Everyone has thoughts. Everyone has opinions. The Achas Atzmal is bonus, Asmar, Askel, Yosef, Mikom, Asha, Zulosa. And Shatim, Takam, Psoim, Yoshim, Ame, Arts, the Dam, Toal, Chachal. So you can have everyone to give an opinion. Any fool, any fool woman or Amoritz can say whatever they want, and they may know better. Amar Pasuk, Ki'afim him Yeram Achlok Shachcham Avamim Lo Yimush Yisrael Shomosh Omrim Lo Yosus Yidivayim Lo Olam. And the Chinuch says the same thing. From page 11. he says the second arrow on page 11. He says Mishar she a mitzvah the she shedeyas bnei adam chalukim zemizeh. So everyone has different opinions. Lo yishnavu la'olam harbei deyas bedvar. You're never going to get unanimity. Was if we just give everyone a right to just say your own opinion about everything, then the religion will be then there'll be this anarchy. I'll say the mullah means this, you say the tefillin means that. You know, the whole thing will be a chaos. So therefore, central authority. So therefore, let's have one central authority, the Sanhedrin. Oh. So but now he's going to make it a very important point. But Adel can make a mistake. In other words, the system's not foolproof. Because look, if we don't have a Sanhedrin, then it's going to be everyone, you know, say, you know, the Rishonim didn't even live in the time of the blocks. The blocks, everyone can say whatever they want. Everyone, he says his opinion on this, his opinion on this. Everyone says what they want to say. And then, you know? So, he's saying that. So he's saying like this. So therefore we want a central authority. On the other hand, you have a central authority that they can make a mistake too. So he writes here, look on the fourth line from the bottom, the first word on Lachlan. He says, the tov lispol tohus echad yuachom surun tachas daitam atov tomit. In other words, you're right. Maybe if we have this rule, I'll to listen to the Sanhedrin, sometimes they'll make a mistake. But better have this one mistake that we messed up on, better to do that than have the whole Torah just be hectic. Right, less of the two evils. So therefore, let's have a Sanhedrin, and everyone has to follow the Sanhedrin, and now, even the, it's interesting, but even the Chinuch himself at the end says over what the Ramban said, that there's a difference between if you spoke or you didn't speak. That if you didn't speak to them, then you could still follow, you know, what you think. Once you spoke to them, and then they rejected what you said, you know, so there's still maneuverability within that.
And are we sure never spoke for us? Very sure he did.
Each Rebbe has their Talmidim. The Rebbeim don't speak, but the Talmidim, you know, speak. Oh, this Rebbe said, my Rebbe is Rebbe Yeshua. He said, we're keeping Yom Kippur this day. And the other go, oh, we're keeping Yom Kippur this day. And the two, it could be Rebbe Gamliel and Yeshua never even spoke to each other. It's probably the Talmidim. You know how it is. The Talmidim make things problems. Yeah.
According to the writer, I think they're saying that, let's say, Fazal, there's something in science that goes, say, seemingly against Fazal. It seems like it's saying that we should soak off Fazal and not, I mean, for example, if lice, we should be able to still kill lice on Shabbos. Even though, let's say, nowadays it seems like it would be usher, we should, because the modern rule that it's mutter, it should still be allowed to, or other cases like that. Or is it like in Yoma? I think it says like in a baby, you're allowed to see a baby in the 7th month or 9th month, not the 8th month, which is a bad omen. But nowadays, it's like,
you know, nowadays, what Avi's saying is that certain things in Chazal that were based on certain scientific information that's questionable whether it was accurate scientific information or not. And the question is, do we still follow? Like he's saying that, so what are you saying there for a while?
Meaning, it seems like with the case of the baby where you shouldn't see him in the 8th month, now you'd be still seeing the baby because we know that.
Yeah, but that is a concept of Ishtanu Hatvoim. Maybe certain things were, that was the baby was right in the time of Chazal, and then it have it changed. Right, so that we have to see. Okay, the Kitzer, so it seems from the Gurari, from the morale of the person around, you always have to listen to the words of, even though Rabbi Meth said it could be that he would in the end agree to the Ramban also, but maybe not. But the key is that what's that Gemara in Rosh Hashanah talking about? So the Ran learns that Gemara proves to you the authority of the Sanhedrin, even in a case of error. Even in a case of error.
Right.
Everything we're talking about till now is only when there's a Sanhedrin. In other words, we're going to get to in the future packets. What's the story when you don't have a Sanhedrin? And it's only a question of your Rebbe, your Shul Rabbi, what's the authority there? That's a whole different discussion. Because that's awesome. In other words, we don't have Sanhedrin today. So we're saying what was the din when they had a Sanhedrin? And even that's not so clear.
It's a machlokes of Rebbe Dosa or Rebbe Akiva, whether it's a
Yeah.
Okay,
so what I would recommend tomorrow is to start off with that, review that Gemara Rosh Hashanah, and then look in the Pesach Einayim. That's the Chidah on the page after. In other words, page 20 is the Gemara, then look at page 21. Okay, during Seder. And we'll continue from there tomorrow, Mr. Shana.
Are there alternatives you could argue?